After the Game. Presented by Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe on South College in Auburn. Also brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic and Columbus Hospice of Alabama. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390. 334-321-1390. Now, welcome to After the Game.
Welcome on into After the Game here on ESPN 106.7. We are broadcasting live from Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe in downtown Auburn. As we have just witnessed, Auburn almost pulled off a 12-point comeback against the Kentucky Wildcats, but they eventually fall on the road 82-80. Zach and Lance Dahl here with you. Today's show is brought to you by Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe in downtown Auburn, the Orthopedic Clinic, and Columbus Hospice of Alabama. And Zach, that was just a tough loss to take. Thought Auburn almost had a chance there at the end. And JT Thor played the game of his life today.
Yeah, I mean, halfway through the second half, we were talking here to Tzatziki's. It's like, you know, does this Auburn team want it? You know, this seems like this game is over. Lazy offensive possessions, lazy defensive possessions. And then all of a sudden, JT Thor, the guy can't miss. He makes several threes in a row, and then he, you know, had a few putback dunks. And it's like all of a sudden, you know, this team's alive again behind JT Thor's 24 points, 8 of 11 from the floor, 5 of 6 from 3, 9 rebounds. And pretty much all that happened in the second half, or at least it seemed like it did. So, I mean, he was impressive. And we've seen glimpses from JT Thor throughout the season where it's like, this guy could be the best player on Auburn's team in 2022, you know, going into next season. And that's something that I think Auburn fans are going to be excited about throughout this offseason. But as far as the game today, JT Thor is definitely the brightest spot because Auburn was lost. Auburn was lost halfway through the second half, around 10 points, 11-point game. And then all of a sudden we look up and behind JT Thor's explosion of offense, it was a 3-point game when we looked up there. And it's like, holy cow, Auburn somehow they're in this.
And they managed to tie the game with about a minute left.
There you go. And then Kentucky kind of, you know, they made a three, and then, you know, that was all she wrote. But you look at this team, and it's like, what's going to get them motivated? What's going to get them fired up? What's going to get them playing at the level that they're capable of with nothing really being on the line? And I think that's going to be something that we're going to talk about for the remainder of this season. But clearly the way JT Thor played late in the second half, it inspired his teammates, and to me, that's the takeaway of the game.
Career high 24 points for JT Thor. 24 points, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 8 of 11 from the field, 5 of 6 from 3. Let's go over some of the other numbers here from the starters. Jalen Williams, 7 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist. He was 3 of 8 from the field, 1 of 4 from 3. Not exactly what we would expect from Jalen Williams considering how well he's been playing offensively as of late. Devin Cambridge, 4 points, 4 rebounds, 2 of 7 from the field, 0 of 2 from 3. We've been kind of talking about it for the past few games now that Sharif's back or in the lineups now. Devin Cambridge plays a much better role off the bench, and we've seen him now as a starter. He's kind of gone back into that, you know, 3-point shooting slump, and we haven't really seen a whole lot of production from him in a starting role. Sharif Cooper, 14 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists. Seems like a pretty decent stat line, but he was 6 of 23 from the field, 2 of 8 from 3, and he had 6 turnovers. Not what you want to see from your starting point guard in that kind of environment.
Well, somehow the 2 of 8 from 3 will help his 3-point shooting percentage.
I believe he's shooting 24% on the year. So actually,
from 3?
From 3. He moved up from 18 to now he is at 24%.
Well, 2 of 8 is 25%, so it did help him, yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
And Alan Flanagan, who has been struggling these past two or three games, had 5 turnovers today, but did have 23 points, 5 rebounds, and was 8 of 13 from the floor. Really impressed with what I saw from Flanagan, especially in that second half. He stepped up and contributed. He was consistent. One of Auburn's better bright spots offensively. I want to talk here for a second about Sharif Cooper there at the end of that game.
Okay.
My argument is that Sharif Cooper is one of the least clutch basketball players in all of college basketball.
And you've talked about that before on this show and on Auburn Up Like This Morning and Locked On Auburn. You've mentioned that several times, but I think you talked about it last week when we were talking about the Ole Miss game.
Right.
Yeah.
And Auburn had so many different opportunities to win that game late against Ole Miss, and they couldn't capitalize. I think that was just kind of a prayer thrown up by Devontae Shuler, and, you know, just move on to the next game. It feels bad as a loss, but, you know, Sharif definitely had the opportunity to win that game for Auburn. This game in particular, he missed every single shot he took in the last 5 minutes, and then there were two layups that he took where he drove to the basket, and it was just ill-advised. Kick it out to somebody. JT Thor's been hot all game. Let him shoot the three. Don't take it inside against two guys that are double your size just to get blocked or turn the ball over.
Well, it's clear, though, that it was drawn up for them to do that.
Right.
I mean, it was out of a timeout. You can tell that's what Bruce Pearl wanted them to do. So, based on what it looks like, and we may get more information when we see what Bruce Pearl says in his post-game presser, but it seems like the plan was for Cooper to take it in an ISO situation and attack the basket. So, like, he was just doing what he was told.
Regardless, I feel like if he can't capitalize, you know, he's not clutch. He should be able to at least make one of those baskets or make a better decision and go with his gut and say, you know what, I'm going to kick it out to Jalen Williams or JT Thor and let him shoot.
And it's not a one-time thing, to your credit, as far as, you know, you making this argument. We originally saw it against Alabama, his debut, he had a chance. And it was easy to write that off, right? His first game in college, a good Alabama team, okay, that's fine. But we've seen it several times now down the stretch here with Sharif Cooper where, you know, in these close games, when Auburn needs a guy to step up at the very end, he's been given the opportunity. He's been given the green light by Bruce Pearl, but it hasn't really come to mean anything as far as turning a close loss into a close win.
Right. We saw it against Arkansas when Auburn lost by two. We saw it against Ole Miss whenever they lost by two. And now we've seen it against Kentucky when Auburn has lost by two.
The line was -3.5.
We covered.
So, yep. We won in Vegas.
I'm genuinely surprised that Kentucky was favored in this game. At 5-13?
It's hard to win in Rupp, but I'm right there with you. I mean, this Kentucky team's so talented. It's crazy that it's taken them so long to get to just 6 wins this year.
Impressed with a couple of Kentucky's starters. Isaiah Jackson had a double-double, his first double-double of the season, 18 points, 11 rebounds, 5 of 8 from the field. And he was kind of the catalyst there late in that second half whenever Auburn was trying to come back into it, a couple of put-back dunks, and then we saw him finish it off there at the end with a thunderous slam all on his own. Auburn's got to be able to defend the rim a little bit better, and we've talked about that as the SEC schedule has gone on. Auburn, very good at shot blocking, very good in that category. Jalen Williams especially, I believe, averages 1.5 or 2 blocks a game. But Auburn cannot defend the two-point shot, and they can't defend the rim, and that's been a struggle for the entire season.
Yeah. We're broadcasting live from DeZeke's. We got some really big deals here, specifically Ben Taylor of Wings 94.3. He is out. He's hanging out, watching the game, and We'll hopefully have Noah Gardner stop by in a bit as well, host of On the Line. So plenty of folks here. Come by and see us. Come by and hang out with us. But, we got a lot to talk about in that sloppy loss that we saw.
Yep. We'll be back in a moment to continue to recap Auburn's 80-82 loss to Kentucky. You're listening to After the Game on ESPN 106.7.
Through Compassion
7. Call 334-321-1390 or send us a tweet at ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back to After the Game here on ESPN 106.7. We are broadcasting live from Taziki's Mediterranean Cafe in downtown Auburn. After the Game, basketball is sponsored by Taziki's Mediterranean Cafe, the Orthopedic Clinic, and Columbus Hospice of Alabama. Let's talk about the flow of the game here for a minute. Auburn got off to a hot start in the first half, decided that they actually wanted to play defense for once, and they had a 6-point lead heading into halftime. How did Auburn fall apart in the second half?
Yeah, I was really, really pleasantly surprised by the way they were able to play defense in the first half. It's, once again, it's that desire. You know,
right.
This team's going to have ebbs and flows as far as when they want to execute and when they don't. Because when they want to, they seem to be able to pull it off, even late against Kentucky. They were able to get shots late in this game because they were zoned in, locked in. I think that's just kind of how talented this team is when they really want to put it all together. As far as the difference between the first half and the second half, I don't know if it's an energy thing or if it's a stamina thing or if it's deeper in the X's and O's. And, like, the Calipari's not some, like, sophisticated head coach as far as, like, what they do offensively.
Right.
So, like, I don't really think there was anything drastic. It's just Kentucky was, one, they shot better. I mean,
shot the lights out of it in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't hit anything. It took them like 4 minutes into game to like for them to even score, I think. And it was free throws. It took them even longer than that to get a field goal. So some of it's on Kentucky's end. They got things right as far as them being able to shoot. But it just seems like we saw a similar storyline when they played Baylor, right? And now obviously they clawed back into this game more so than they did against Baylor. But that's just kind of where I think this team is at in regards to, you know, can they go toe-to-toe for 40 minutes with some of these better teams? And it's like sometimes, some nights you watch these guys play and it's like, yes. And then some nights it's like, I don't know if it's a desire thing or if it's just, they ran out of gas. Because sometimes early in the second half, it looked like they were a little tired. So that's my, like, lazy response to kind of what I think happened from first half to second half defensively.
And look, you know, we talk about how bad Auburn wants these wins here. You know, the rest of the season is kind of irrelevant. But what happens doesn't matter. So we talk about how much does Auburn actually want to win these games. If you're up by six heading into halftime at Rupp Arena, you think you would come out and you'd play with a little bit more intensity.
Yeah.
But Auburn just couldn't capitalize. I believe we have somebody on the phone.
Yeah, 334-321-1390 is how you can be a part of the show. Ed joins us. Ed, you were hard on these Tigers a week ago. What'd you think of today's game?
I'm not going to be hard on them. I'm going to say that they're young. That showed a lot. And I don't care who you are. There's a reason. If y'all didn't play college ball or anything, you had older brothers or older cousins when you were playing ball. And we're just young. And there was a lack of taking advantage in the first half, in my opinion. But that's just being young. What I wanted to say, a couple things. I'm all behind Coach Pearl. You know that. And I'm all behind the players there. It was a rough game. It could have been won. Maybe should have been won. But I wanted to just comment on this. If CBS, does that mean the Calipari broadcasting, source or because did y'all notice I saw more of Calipari than I saw of any player I don't think I saw Coach Pearl in the first half. All I saw was John Calipari. But
it's funny you bring that up, Ed, because
yes,
I mean, Lance, you brought it up when we were watching it here at Tazeki's. It's like, why is every time we play Kentucky are we on CBS?
Exactly.
It's like we're never on CBS unless we're playing Kentucky. But Kentucky, CBS loves the Kentucky Wildcats.
Hey, it's like one of your, genius interns there. If they could, I bet Calipari got more FaceTime in today's game than he's gotten in any game in his life. All they kept showing was Calipari. You know, I was like, well. You know what? Anyway, guys, War Eagle. I'm not going to complain. And y'all know I love Auburn, and I'm behind them. But War Eagle, and I appreciate y'all's program. And y'all take care.
Hey, thanks, Ed. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Regardless of how you play, it is always good to be on CBS or on ESPN. Like it's that's something that. Even when Auburn started to win games in the Bruce Pearl era, he's like, yeah, all of our games are televised, and it's great. But it's like he was never on ESPN or CBS. Like, that was a big deal. And now you're seeing that all the time. It still has to do with, in large, who Auburn's playing. But still, it's a step in the right direction as far as national relevance, you know?
And not only has Bruce Pearl been winning games, but he's also been winning on the recruiting trail. And whenever you get these high-profile guys, you're going to get a spotlight put on you. You get a Sharif Cooper, Bleacher Report, ESPN, CBS, they're all going to be locked in on what you're doing and what Sharif Cooper is doing and what your team is doing. So obviously, Bruce Pearl's put Auburn on the map as far as national relevance has gone. I want to talk for a second. I want to get your thoughts on this.
Okay.
In the second half, not only did Kentucky start to shoot a lot better than they did in the first, but there were a lot of fouls called against Auburn, and only one called in that first 10 minutes against Kentucky, and that was a tech on Calipari. Do you think that affected Auburn's energy and ability to get back into the game?
Possibly. I mean, you could tell Auburn went into this game defensively saying that they wanted to be aggressive. And obviously, the downside of being aggressive is you're going to get called for some things. And so over the course of 10 minutes, when it's only hurting you, I'm sure that has a play on, you know, or an impact on kind of what how you're going to play. So, I think so. I think so. That also, you've got to be aware of where you're playing. You're playing in Rupp Arena. That is an historic arena for an historic basketball program. And, like, it's tough to win there. I don't care if Kentucky's only won 5 games going into today. That's tough to do. And so you know that there's going to be home cooking. And I think you saw a mixture of all the things that I just said there.
You talk about being aggressive. Auburn was especially aggressive inside. They had 8 blocks today. Kentucky actually had 10 blocks, but I would argue that stat doesn't really matter because there were 2 or 3 blocks that Kentucky didn't earn. Auburn just kind of gave the ball away, and it was just swatted out of bounds aggressively. But you talk about being aggressive inside. Dylan Cardwell fouled out with only 2 rebounds and no points.
Yeah.
Auburn was pulling a South Carolina, in my opinion, where they're like, we're going to play 12 or 13 guys, we're going to go incredibly deep, and we're going to hack the crap out of you, and we're going to put you on the free throw line, and if you can't beat us there, we're going to continue to foul, and that's the way we're going to play our game.
I wouldn't mind seeing Auburn do more of that.
I agree.
When you talk about the depth down low, I mean, especially with the way Jalen Williams is playing and JT Thor is playing, and then I'm really high on Dylan Cardwell. I know there's some folks that aren't as high on him, but I think he's a really, really good role player, and I think he's going to end up being a star when it's all said and done with the Tigers. And then, you know, Stretch Akinbola, I think he's a solid third center when you really talk about what his role could be. So, yeah, I'm all for that. When it showed that graphic that Cardwell fouled out with 0 points, like, that doesn't look great, but his role right now isn't to score points. His role was to play aggressive down low against guys that are bigger and stronger than him, and I think he did a good job at that.
Right. And we were talking while we were watching the game about different Auburn centers that we've seen in the past compared to Cardwell and how happy we are to be able to have this guy for 2 or 3 years compared to guys like Austin Wiley. Cardwell, in my opinion, has much better hands already as a freshman. He's incredibly talented. I'm really excited to see what he's doing moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's a guy that you don't have to worry about him going to the NBA. Now, there are some players on this roster that you're going to have to be concerned with that. Obviously, Sharif Cooper, and that's going to be the big storyline for the first few months of Auburn's offseason as far as how long it takes him to make that decision. But, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll have to see. But Dylan Cardwell, his stat line is going to look bad. A lot of personal fouls and no points and just 2 rebounds. But I think he did a good job with what he was tasked with today.
I agree. After the Game is brought to you by Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe, the Orthopedic Clinic, and Columbus Hospice of Alabama. We are recapping Auburn's 80-82 loss to Kentucky in Rupp Arena. Stick with us. We'll be back to continue the recap the loss here on ESPN 106.7.
Jonathan here with University Ace Hardware.
106.7. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or send us a tweet at ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back to After the Game, the Orthopedic Clinic and Columbus Hospice of Alabama. Just want to go over the rest of the stat sheet here real quick. Javon Franklin, 0 points, 4 rebounds, missed the only shot he took. He played 5 minutes today. Chris Moore, 2 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, made the only field goal he attempted. Babatunde Akinbola, no points, 1 rebound, no assist, 0 of 2 from the floor, had 2 personal fouls and a block. Jamal Johnson, 6 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 of 7 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3. Kind of surprised that Jamal Johnson fell off there in the second half. We got to see him make a couple big-time buckets to put Auburn up in the first, and then he just kind of fell off and disappeared.
Right, yeah. Jaws, I saw a tweet. I got to read this. This is from at DBriceJ on Twitter. If the only way you followed Auburn basketball was by reading Auburn message boards, you would think Sharif Cooper is terrible at basketball.
I can see that. I can see that. I'm one to harshly criticize Auburn basketball. As a fan, I'm very critical, and I should probably stop being so negative. But whenever it comes to whenever you see things like this, it's hard to not be upset or be critical. I mean, you continue to see the way that Sharif plays the game. I'm not a big fan of it. I'm not a big fan of shooting 23 shots and only making 6 of them. I'm not a big fan of shooting 20% from 3. I'm not a big fan of relying on offensive fouls and getting to the free throw line in order to sustain success. What I am a fan of is his ability to distribute. I believe ESPN put a graphic up saying that Sharif was actually the first in the NCAA in assists per game. I would say that's the only bright spot to his game. Outside of that, as a point guard, I don't really like what he tries to do to create offense. He can't shoot, and whenever he gets inside, he'll get to the block, and half the time he doesn't know what to do with the ball, so he'll either throw it up there, get blocked, or he'll kick it out, and it'll be a turnover. We saw that multiple times tonight. Now, obviously he's creative, and obviously he's going to do things correctly whenever he gets inside. Like, obviously he has the ability to finish occasionally. But I feel like he makes too many bad decisions, and it's costing Auburn games. They should have won this game today.
I agree. They should have, and they should have won several games that they've lost this year. I mean, dating back to pretty much every SEC game since the Alabama game, obviously they should have lost to Baylor. But all in all, like, there's several games this year where it's like, next year, I think they win in that given situation. And I know it stinks, and I know it's emotionally draining if you're invested in this young Auburn team, but to say over and over again, like, next year, next year, next year. But I think it's true. I think it's really, really true. But the fact of the matter is, no matter what Auburn fans and the folks that want to talk bad about Sharif Cooper, and they can say whatever they want, I don't care. But the NBA, who knows way more about an Auburn basketball fan who's been following basketball for 3 years, they know an NBA draft guy is going to know significantly more, and they have him as a top 10 pick pretty much wherever you look right now. And that is the fact of the matter, that Sharif Cooper will be a top 10 draft pick if he chooses to leave. You can say he's not clutch, because I agree with you. He's not. And then all the folks on, you know, message boards or Auburn Twitter or whatever, if they want to say that he's a bad shooter, it's like, okay, that's fine. Statistically, what, 24% from 3? That's not good. But he has traits that translate to the next level, and that is the fact, the moment he stepped on the court and was eligible for the Tigers this season, everyone got like 30% better from a scoring standpoint. And that doesn't show up in the stat sheet next to his name. But everyone else's name got better because of Sharif Cooper. And you can't teach that. That is impossible to replicate. You just have to have that it ability, that it factor. And Cooper has it in the NBA season.
Something I do want to point out, if we're talking about how badly this Auburn team wants to play right now, regardless of whatever these other players do, Sharif Cooper should be playing for draft stock right now. You think about it, this is going to be his college tape. This is what NBA scouts are going to see. So he's trying to perform at the highest level right now. He's still trying to get out there and compete.
Yes, but he could, like, not make another 3 all season, and I don't think it's going to impact anything.
I don't know. I don't know. I feel like,
I think if he closed it out and went 0 for 20 from 3, I still think he's a top 12 pick when it's all said and done.
I don't know if he can continue to do that if he's going to get to the next level. I don't think they can coach him into shooting based off of how bad his shooting form is.
I think they're dying to get him in to change his shooting form. I think you see that a lot.
I just don't believe that he's going to translate well to the next level. I feel like he's obviously, like you said, got some things.
I mean, take a guy like Markelle Fultz. First pick overall. Cooper's not going to be the first pick overall. But a guy that just had a terrible shooting form. And then it's like, they stink for a few years. And then 3 or 4 seasons later, they pop up. And it's like, he's not a superstar, but he's an NBA player. I think that's what you get with Cooper.
I feel like Markelle Fultz also has a size advantage.
That's a good point. That's a great point. But I think the whole, like, we got to compare Sharif Cooper to Trae Young, I think it's deeper than that.
I don't think he's a Trae Young kind of guy. I think he's his own type of player. He's not Kyrie Irving. He's not Chris Paul. He can distribute the basketball in ways that I don't feel like those guys can, and he sees the floor just as good as they can. He just can't shoot.
Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, we're here at Tzatziki's, and the front sign over here talks about their Valentine's bundles. If you want to stay away from crowds this Valentine's weekend, because, boy, they are out, let me tell you what. Check out everything that they have on their app. Just download to the Tzatziki's app. There's plenty of ways to pick up your food or get it delivered. But, yeah, be sure to check out their Tzatziki's app. They got some Valentine's bundles there, and you can order online. And we love the food here. We love it's always very fresh. It's always very filling. You feel good after you eat it. But or, of course, just come in and hang out in the great atmosphere here at Tzatziki's.
After the game, basketball is brought to you by Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe, the Orthopedic Clinic, and Columbus Hospice of Alabama. We will continue to recap Auburn's loss next here on ESPN 106.7.
But we're just getting started. This is After the Game on ESPN 106.7. Call us at 334-321-1390. On Twitter, send us a message at ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back to After the Game here on ESPN 106.7 at Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe in downtown Auburn. Zach Blackerby, Lance Dahl here with you, recapping Auburn's 80-82 loss to Kentucky. Want to get your thoughts here real quick, just looking at the bracket preview that was put out by March Madness, their social media accounts earlier, going over the top 16 seeds potentially in the bracket this year.
Three SEC teams, is that right?
I believe there are three SEC teams. Just looking at the first region, Alabama is slated as a 2 seed right now. In region number 2, Tennessee is a 3 seed, and then in region 3, Missouri is a 4 seed. I'm going to tell you, I have a really hard time seeing Missouri as a 4 seed.
I don't get it. I haven't talked to any. Everybody I've talked to is like, I don't get Missouri being that high. And it's, we saw them a few weeks ago at Auburn Arena. I'm like, this is the 12th best team in college basketball. And a lot of the experts are saying college basketball is down this year, and I think we see that across the SEC. And like, the Blue Bloods are struggling this year. But, I mean, the Big 12 and the Big 10, they've got some good basketball teams. But, yeah, just looking at Missouri, it's like this is a top 16 basketball team right now. I have a hard time with that. I think Alabama as a 2 seed is well-deserved. They're having a great season. But you look at their bracket with Gonzaga being the 1 seed. Oklahoma's their 3, and then who was their 4? Was it Illinois?
It was Iowa. So
Iowa.
It's Gonzaga, Iowa, Oklahoma, and Alabama.
If that stands, I mean, that's killer. Like, that is very, very tough.
That is tough. And I just want to point out real quick, we're not saying Missouri is a bad basketball team by any means. They're just not a top 16 team. Theo Pinson, Drew Smith, obviously very talented guards. Missouri likes to slash and get to the hole. They can play defense pretty well. It's just that based off of their record and the teams that they've played, they don't look like a top 16 team. They just lost 59-80 to Ole Miss. They lost earlier in the season to Auburn. They lost at Mississippi State and at Tennessee, and we've seen how inconsistent Tennessee's been. So we're not saying Missouri's a bad basketball team by any means. They're just definitely not on par with these other 15 schools. Speaking of Tennessee, actually, as a 3 seed, do you agree with that? As a 3 seed?
3 seed's high. 3 seed is very, very high. I've watched Tennessee, you know, a limited number of games so far this year, and they seem like a solid basketball team. A 3 seed's tough. I mean, a 3 seed's an elite college basketball team, and I don't know if I necessarily agree with that either, but, I don't know.
Tennessee has been able to play fantastic defense so far this season. I think that's kind of what's kept them in a lot of their other games. Missouri actually lost to Tennessee earlier this year. And Tennessee actually lost to Alabama. They've lost 49-75 to Florida. They actually lost to Tennessee just a couple of weeks ago. They lost 50-52 to Ole Miss. They beat number 15 Kansas 80-61 during that stretch. They've just been all over the place, just back and forth, very inconsistent. Would like to see Tennessee kind of group together here at this end of the season, get some defense going, and maybe they can improve their seeding.
I don't know how much you really want to improve your seeding, you know, once you get into the top four. It's just so tough to make any kind of movement after that.
Right.
But I think it's good for the SEC to have 3 of the top 16 seeds. It's wild that neither of them are the team that most recently went to the Final Four or Kentucky. That's kind of amazing when you really look at it.
Yeah, college basketball just been all over the place this year. I mean, all of the blue bloods are terrible. I mean, all of them. Well, not necessarily terrible. I mean, you look at North Carolina; they're kind of decent, but they're not what they used to be.
I don't think it's good for college basketball.
I don't think it is either.
And there will be some people is like, yeah, well, I hate Duke. I don't want Duke in there. I hate Kentucky. I don't want Kentucky up there. And it's like, I think you need those in March. I'm really excited to see what March Madness looks like without some of those big name schools, those blue blood schools. Without them being there, it's going to be fascinating.
Here's my perspective.
Okay.
All right. College football, whenever you look at the parity that sport has, there's little to none. There's three teams that are always going to be good every single year because they recruit well and they have good coaching staffs. That's Clemson, Ohio State, and Alabama. They're going to dominate the landscape every single year. I feel like there has to be a happy medium between having no parity at all and then having – you have no idea who's going to win the tournament heading into March Madness because you have to have some kind of moneymaker. You have to have four or five teams that are going to be really good, and you know they're going to be really good, and you have to have these four or five different teams have stretches of games where people are going to actually want to watch it. I don't want to see some 500 team play another 500 team and me not know who's good and who's not.
Yeah.
It's just not interesting.
Right, and most of the people that watch college basketball in the peak of college basketball – watch probably like less than 10 basketball games all season.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's so exciting. You know just weird things are going to happen. So like all these casual fans turn it on. It's like they want to know to like root against Duke.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you don't get that.
And that's what makes it so exciting. It's just to potentially have the upset of beating a team like Duke.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
After the game, basketball is brought to you by Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe in downtown Auburn, the Orthopedic Clinic, and Columbus Hospice of Alabama. We are recapping Auburn's 80-82 loss to Kentucky. We'll be back with more on the other side of this break here on ESPN 106.7.
Whether you're a senior golfer or pro athlete, high school.
So it's time to talk about it. This is After the Game on ESPN 106.7. Call 334-321-1390 or send us a tweet at ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back to After the Game here on ESPN 106.7. Recapping Auburn's 80-82 loss to Kentucky. Looking forward, just looking at Auburn's schedule, you know, we kind of thought two or three weeks ago that after Auburn was heading into the stretch after they beat South Carolina 109-86, you know, they'd be able to get some momentum playing Missouri and Baylor, and since then they've just kind of fallen apart. We were looking towards this final stretch of five games here as an opportunity to really capitalize going into 2022. Just looking ahead, we play Mississippi State at home Tuesday. That's going to be an 8 o'clock tip. We play at LSU on Saturday. We'll be recapping that game here at Tzatziki's. That is a 3 o'clock tip. And then we get Florida at home on Tuesday the 23rd, and that is at 8. And those all feel
gross.
Like winnable games. But
I hate 8 o'clock Tuesday tips. Are you kidding me?
I do not vibe with it. It's not a vibe.
It's the worst.
But, you know, those are all winnable games, but the way Auburn's playing right now, I don't know how I feel heading into them.
I mean, right now you think like Auburn probably goes 1-2 across that stretch. Anything better than that is a huge win. That's kind of where I'm at with it, right?
I feel like the LSU game is winnable though because LSU couldn't stop a nosebleed. Granted,
see,
Auburn,
that's funny because I think that's the least winnable one.
Auburn's giving up 79.5 points in conference play. Like it is the least winnable one by a mile. But when you look at it, if neither of these teams want to play defense, then obviously Auburn's going to have a shot. And then the last two games of the season are probably the most important to kind of get a look at, okay, how much does this team really want to finish well? We get Tennessee, number 16 Tennessee at home. That's an 11 a.m. tip. We will be recapping that game here at Tzatziki's. And then we play at number 11 Alabama to finish off the season. Alabama kind of riding a cold streak right now. They haven't been playing too well. We're actually currently watching them play Georgia, I believe. They're up 16-19 in that matchup.
Yeah.
But Auburn's got an opportunity. They still have an opportunity to finish this season strong. Do you believe that they'll finish with a 500 record or better?
Oh, gosh. So that means they have to go...
They have to go 3-2.
They got to go 3-2.
Currently 11-11.
I don't think that'll happen. I think it should happen. They certainly can make it happen, but I don't think it will. Mississippi State, I mean, at home, that is so winnable. But once again, it's like Mississippi State is playing better than Auburn is right now. Then LSU on the road is a tough one for me to kind of see how they're going to win that. Florida, I mean, they're playing for stuff. I mean, they're playing for seeding in both the SEC tournament and the NCAA tournament, so that's going to be a tough one. I think they beat Tennessee. I just do.
I agree.
And then Alabama, it's like there's a solid chance Alabama has everything locked up and they're able to take, and, you know, Auburn can go to Tuscaloosa and kind of, you know, sell it to the fan base and sell it to themselves as, you know, hey, they helped possibly, you know, put a dent in Auburn's or Alabama's fantastic season that they've had. So I could talk myself into Auburn winning all of these games with the exception of LSU. But I just don't see this team finishing the season 4-1. I just don't.
Especially with the way things are trending right now. I mean, you had a winnable game against Kentucky in Rupp Arena, and I understand that it's Kentucky. I understand that it's Rupp, but this is a 5-13 Kentucky team that couldn't hit the broadside of a barn if they wanted to with the basketball. So Auburn's
it took
just,
them 4 minutes into the game to score.
It took them 4 minutes to score. Auburn's just – they're just on a tough stretch right now. I'm interested to see what Pearl does to kind of recoup this team and get them fired up to finish the season.
It's amazing, you know, we were talking about this over the break. It's like they scored 82, and it's like if they play, or Auburn scored 80, but it's like you can't continue to go into games thinking it's like we have to score 90 to win.
Right.
And that is tough. That's just tough to put that much pressure on yourself on the offensive side of the floor. And it's like it's just tough to score that much no matter who you have on your roster. But to say this Auburn team is bad is incorrect. They just can't play defense. And that's actually not even true.
They don't want to play defense.
We saw it in the first half today. They were able to shut down Kentucky, and obviously Kentucky helped Auburn out by missing some shots they probably should have made. But all in all, like, this team can do it. It's just are they going to want to? And some of these games you can definitely see, like, okay, Bruce Pearl I think is going to beat Tennessee. Like, he's just going to do everything he can to make sure his team's fired up for that. You got to think they're going to have some fire under them when they go to Tuscaloosa. But all these other matchups, like, why should they care about how they look like on the defensive side of the court when they play in Baton Rouge? Like, what's it matter?
It's irrelevant.
Yeah.
It just does not matter.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening. This has been After the Game here on ESPN 106.7. We will be broadcasting next Saturday. We will be recapping the game against LSU. Actually, I believe it'll be a fun game, but we'll just have to see.
I hope so, and that game's at 3 o'clock, of course. So, yeah, we'll get things going about 5 o'clock. So maybe after the game, come grab dinner with us. We'd love to chat and talk about some Auburn basketball with all you guys.
Thank you guys so much for joining. We will see you next Saturday. This has been After the Game here on ESPN 106.7.